Part 18, Chapter 1. Bitty McLeod, carrying a blast rifle as tall as himself, followed along behind Sir Johnny into the main Brigante encampment. Sir Johnny had sent him back twice. But wasn't the proper place of a squire to follow his knight with his weapons into a place of danger? And Biddy admitted to himself that it did look dangerous. There must be 2,500 or 3,000 of these people scattered around this clearing, deep in the forest. They had landed at the top edge of the open space. The prisoners, oh, how they had stunk up the ship, had been held in a lump in the big marine attack plane, well separated from their weapons. And when they landed, the prisoners had been put on the ground first. Then Sir Robert had looked over the place and made some defense dispositions to cover their possible retreat, as was proper for a war chief. Bitty had taken the opportunity of persuading Sir Johnny into some dry clothes. All you had to do was touch him, and the water splashed. The Russians had not been idle over at the dam, and seeing all this rain, they had cut up some camouflage cloth and made rain capes. It had been hard to get Sir Johnny to pay attention and take care of himself, to get some food down and change clothes. But Biddy had done it. He'd clasped up the rain cape with a badge with a red star on it, and gotten Johnny's dry shirt belted with his gold-buckled belt, and had found a helmet liner with a white star on it to keep the rain off him, and, all in all, under these circumstances, Sir Johnny looked pretty presentable, even in this rain. Sheets of water were marching across this wide clearing full of people. Somebody had cut down an awful lot of trees and burned them some time past. The blackened stumps stood all about. A crop was half grown, but these people were running all about, trampling it, a thing you shouldn't do to crops. Bitty looked about him through the rain. These creatures did not fit into his sense of fitness of things. He had read quite a bit in his school. He liked the very old romances best, and he hadn't ever encountered anything like this. There were no old men or old women. There were quite a few children in various bad, unhealthy conditions. Pot bellies, scabs on them, dirty, shocking. Didn't anyone properly feed them or clean them up? Men they passed gave them a funny salute with a raised finger. Ugly, contemptuous faces. Faces of all colors and mixed colors. And all dirty. Their clothing was a kind of joke of a uniform and not worn with any style, just sloppy. They seemed to speak some strange kind of English like they had oatmeal in their mouths. He knew he didn't talk really good English, not like university men such as Sir Robert, nor as good as Sir Johnny. But anybody could understand him when he talked, and he was trying to improve so that Colonel Ivan's English, which he helped him with, would be good. But these people didn't seem to care if the words even got out of their stinky mouths. Bitty almost bumped into Sir Johnny, who had stopped in front of a middle-aged man. What language was Sir Johnny using? Ah, Cyclo. Johnny was asking something, and the Brigante nodded and pointed over to the west and said something back in Cyclo. Bitty got it. Sir Johnny didn't want to know anything. He just wanted to see whether the Brigante spoke Cyclo. Clever. Where were they headed? Oh, toward that big lean-to that had a leopard skin sort of flag on a pole in front of it. Bitty saw they had been following the prisoners, who were still under guard, probably being taken to their chief.